This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
What do you think Doc Pandy would say if he were here?
Doc?
Well, let's go for it.
There you go.
Scrub me this in, is, Doc.
All right.
Scrub me this in. One,
this is a special one because Doc Pandy is not just here, but we are also celebrating the three-year anniversary of Clear to Play, our partnership with UCSF and the leading authority in orthopedics, Dr. Nirav Pandya and Dr. Brian Feely. But come on, more Doc Pandya, because you handle what? At least 80% of these.
The heavy lifting.
The one who's here right now. Doc Feely, we love you too.
Love him.
But it's appointment listening every week and the longest running weekly medical sentiment segment in all of sports radio. No other show provides this immediate insight like we're about to dive right into Steph Curry's ankles right now.
Yeah.
And the medical perspective, Christian McCaffrey will do it for fans and parents and athletes and whatever the hell Dibs has got going on
sports
this particular
talk radio
week.
Hosts.
Okay? So cheers. Cheers to you, Doc Pandya, and to all of our friends at UCSF.
No, awesome. Thanks, guys. It's crazy. It's been 3 years. I talk to you guys more some weeks more than my family.
So yeah, right.
No doubt.
There's more to talk about with us than the family. It's like, hey, honey, how was work? Fine. How was your day? Great. See you tomorrow. And yet here we are talking about the same old ankles again, Steph Curry. When you saw it, and I was telling Mark, I get worried when it's a non-contact rollover. What did you think, and what's your prognosis from afar?
Yeah, no, I definitely was worried when you see that non-contact injury. It reminds me of Curry first or second year in the league when that's happening a lot. Luckily, the MRI shows this peroneal strain, which basically is like secondary damage that can occur. Just means that foot twists, that muscle gets a little bit sore. Luckily, no structural damage, but that early in the season to see that happen, just something to be cautious about because it got a little nervous. Remind me of the old Curry.
Okay. More with Doc Pandy on the Steph thing in just a minute, but I'm going to call a false start on Dan Dibley because you jumped the other part that I need to say, which is to actually go out to the River Islands guest line and welcome Doc Pandy in.
Seven reads later, maybe you can, get to the interview.
Well,
that's okay.
I mean, listen,
it's on me, Doc. I'll take that.
Do you want to get paid or not for this show?
I was so excited I pulled a hammy.
It's time for Cleared to Play. We're going to take you inside the tank, get you updated on the latest injuries in the Bay, proud to partner with UCSF Health on this segment for 3 years now, and talk to Professor of Orthopedic Surgery, Dr. Nirav Pandya. You're also listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. Doc, I think I saw you talk about this on social media. What is the net effect of not sort of doing this once in that game, but he did it twice?
Yeah, it definitely becomes more painful. You get that ankle, you twist it, it gets a little irritated, and that second one's going to look that much more worse. So I think it looked worse than it actually was, but the fact that he was already a little irritated, I don't think it caused more damage, but it's going to make it seem more dramatic when you see it on TV.
And you look at the footwear, and I always was told as a kid, like, high tops are going to support the ankle so much better, but you see so many of these pro basketball players now in the mids or the lows. Is that just a myth about a high top shoe being more supportive?
It actually is. They've done studies looking at that, and it's more about your strength, you know, kind of all that rehab Curry does. Low top, high top doesn't make a difference. Now, the key thing for Curry, he's got those big ankle braces,
yeah,
which probably is what saves him a lot of the time from getting that bigger sprain.
So you're telling me that through my entire high school basketball
right?
career, we spent all that money on those extra shoes for no reason at all.
Absolutely.
Jeez.
Unbelievable. I need to go back and do it again. Mom, I'm sorry. We wasted a bunch of money. What about this? What is your translation of what you heard the Warriors say after the injury in terms of, okay, he's going to miss two games and then we reevaluate? What does that mean to you?
I think in general, you're looking just for that pain and swelling to go down. There's naturally going to be some of that. So you give it 48 to 72 hours. And just with this, it's how does he feel? You know, it's not necessarily there's some structural damage. It takes 6 weeks to get better. So you look to see, is he feeling better? Is he able to move on the court? Because if he is sore, you don't want him to injure something else. So usually it's that 48 to 72 hours, see how he's doing. And he knows his ankles well. I mean, that's the key thing. He's going to be the one who determines if he feels ready.
And does it, I don't know if help is the word, but the fact that you sprain your ankle so many times and the ligaments do get stretched out, does that aid in the recovery because your ankle is already so loose?
Absolutely, yeah. Whenever you sprain your ankle, you worry, is there going to be secondary damage? If it's so tight, so much force goes across it, you damage the cartilage, things get irritated. But if it just twists, it's frustrating, but you're going to be able to come back quicker because that secondary damage isn't there.
Let's talk about DeAnthony Melton, because he's dealing with an injury that's the exact same injury that dogged him for a very healthy portion of last year. So what's the concern level there?
I think a little bit more concerning. You know, he had this, what they called a lumbar stress response, you know, which basically just means your back's inflamed. So they got this MRI. Luckily, it sounded like no structural damage. And I think they're going to be safe. You know, Rick Celebrini is very safe. Any degree of soreness, they don't want it to creep up again. So I think it's more caution because it's early part of the season. Based on what they described, if this was the playoffs or, you know, kind of a big game, I think he'd be able to play.
And similarly with Andrew Wiggins, who is out with a short-term injury, the level of concern for Wiggins is probably pretty low as well.
Yeah, I think so. And I think this is where having that 12, now 13-man rotation with Lindy Waters comes into play. Like, maybe two seasons ago, you wouldn't have Wiggins sit out, but you've got enough depth where you can give him the rest if he's got these aches and pains.
Doc Pandia with us, cleared to play Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game, and celebrating 3 years of talking about what's going on with Bay Area athletes and their injuries with the great Doc Pandia. I think that all fans in the Bay right now, they want to be so optimistic that Christian McCaffrey is ready to go. We've had a series of weeks now of hearing from the Niners, no setbacks. But how optimistic would you suggest that a fan should be right now, about a week and a half from now?
I think they can be optimistic. I think there is definitely a chance he's going to play. You haven't heard the setbacks. He's ramping up, as John Lynch is saying. The key is, how much Christian McCaffrey are you going to get? Is there going to be a rep count? Is he going to be, you know, trading carries with Jordan Mason? That's going to be the key thing. So are we going to see, you know, 35 touches McCaffrey? Probably not, but I think we'll definitely see him play. The key is, how is it going to last after a couple weeks? How does that Achilles feel?
And how typical is it to have bilateral Achilles tendonitis when maybe you're favoring one side over the other? Is this abnormal or is this somewhat garden variety?
Pretty common. You know, you're going to get that secondary issue because typically what happens is that not only are you compensating, but whatever issues with that one Achilles is probably going to crop up in the other side. So definitely not uncommon, and makes me feel a little bit more confident as opposed to it being there's something structurally really wrong with that one Achilles.
What is the risk of rupture or some kind of re-injury here?
So the risk of rupture is less than 10%. It's actually not that high, because we hear about when someone does tear it, you're like, oh, you've got tendonitis, but we don't hear about the other 90 athletes who have it and are totally fine. So given the fact they've been slow with this and they're ramping it up, you know, I think he'll be okay, but there's that risk. But once again, he's younger. This is his first bout with it, so I think it's relatively low.
Dre Greenlaw with the ruptured Achilles back in February, and it seems like 9 to 12 months is your typical return to play, which would put it at early to mid-November on the short side. What will his ramp-up be once he's cleared to actually come back and practice?
Yeah, he can go pretty quickly with that at that position. The key is, how is he feeling? And I think that's going to determine how much he plays, because at that position, you have to be explosive. You have to feel right, and that's the hardest thing at that position is you go through all this rehab, and are you ready to react and move quickly? So that's probably going to limit him more than some sort of physical ailment. Like, his strength, mobility, all that stuff's going to be back.
I mean, the 49ers today, for the first time, put some sort of a timetable on Dre, which to me suggests they're starting to feel kind of good about where he is. But my question, and I don't know if you can know this, but like, what are the chances that when Dre plays, he looks like Dre?
It's going to be hard. You know, you look at most of the data, it's that second season back. I mean, we saw it with, you know, Clay and other players. Like, it really takes a long period of time. You just can't recreate football activity in practice. So the timing, all those things you worry about. So this season, you could see flashes of him. I really think it's going to be next season.
Is that similar to the ACL recovery where you can come back and be 75-80% of you, but it does take that full year?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think anytime you're away from sports, whether you're injured or not, it's going to take time to get back into shape, get that, you know, that sensitivity back. So absolutely, same sort of thing as an ACL.
Doc, I wonder this, and what just patients tell you through the years, because when I watched Jordan Mason the last couple weeks, it's his shoulder, but he looks hesitant to me, which is more like you would think your legs. But I wonder if there is a mental thing that he's dealing with there. What do you hear from people as far as the mental side of playing full speed when they're hurt?
They absolutely struggle with it. I mean, I can tell them you're ready to go, they're excited, and then you're like, wait, I got to actually test this out. I'm going to get contact. And sometimes that can take even longer than the physical recovery. So absolutely, you're playing football, you're used to playing a certain way, and you got this injured area, and you may not want to take that contact, or a little bit of contact makes you sore again. You're like, look, I'm pulling myself out. So it's hard part of the rehab process.
That being said, Ricky Pearsall now 2 games back after his terrible gunshot in the end of August. What have you seen in terms of his hesitation or lack thereof as he's gotten back on the field?
He looks like there's really not any hesitation. It's pretty remarkable, and I think he's probably been thrown into playing more just with all the injuries as well, too. But for a rookie, I mean, he's out there taking a lot of snaps. He's looked good. So it's once again, it's remarkable. We're talking about how many passes he's going to catch and things like that. We're just talking about, are you going to be alive?
Are you going to live?
Yeah, yeah, it's crazy.
I don't even know what to ask you on this, because I feel like there's 4 injuries every week for Deebo Samuel.
Right.
But like, what are we supposed to expect with a body and a style that seemingly keeps repetitively getting hurt?
These things are going to just keep popping up, and I think the expectation is going to be you're going to have Deebo miss maybe 25% of the games, and if he doesn't play that way, he's not going to be Deebo Samuel. So that's just the secondary impact of him playing wide receiver and running back and playing the way he does. So is there going to be a 16-18 game Deebo season? Probably not, but you're going to get 10 good games of him playing aggressively.
Yeah, it's just incredible when he's out there, and then you watch him run the ball or catch it, and then he stays down. It's like, geez, Morgan, I mean, which one is it going to be this time? It's the hip, it's the back, it's the knee, and all the rest of it. But rugged game. I mean, what can you do, right?
Now what can you do? Well, I know what you can do. You can talk to Doc Pandy every week.
I would love
That's the best that we can do.
Pretty fun.
Great to see you out here. And not just thank you for today, but thank you for your partnership through the last 3 years.
No, absolutely. Thanks. It's been a pleasure. It's a great time every week. I look forward to it.
And you got to ask him the eternal question, the age-old question.
Which is?
Who plays basketball tonight?
Well, I got the little reveal here.
Oh, wait, and you had your... Hey, what's the difference between an Achilles tear and an Achilles rupture?
So, Achilles tear, you can still have some of the tendon there. Achilles rupture, totally
gone.
Gone.
But when you have an Achilles tear, do they ever, like, stitch that baby back up? Or if it's torn, it's basically going to rupture anyway, so that they're going to go ahead and fix it?
It depends on the athlete and how old you are, but if you have more than 50% of that tendon gone, you're going to be sewing that together. So,
if you're in your mid-50s and you slip and fall, what does that mean long-term?
Yeah, a lot of problems coming, Dan. A lot of urgent care visits.
Yeah.
You're not kidding. I was there on Saturday.
Yeah, you
My
old.
My God.
All right.
You old. You gone.
Doc, thanks, man.
The best, Doc.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.
All right.
Get this man a parka. Somebody's freezing.
The proceeding was sponsored by UCSF Health. We're sponsored by Crystal Geyser Alpine Springwater. And coming up next, we get back to your phone calls on Lindy Waters and now Jonathan Kuminga coming off the bench. Should he stay there? Is he right to be frustrated? We can get to all of that. Plus, we're less than 20 minutes away from giving away yet another pair of tickets.
Another pair?
To a future Warriors game next month against the Brooklyn Nets. 888-957-9570. Live out at Thrive City. Brought to you by Xfinity. It's Willard and...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Dibs. Hey, hey, everybody here. You're listening to Willip and Dibs on 95.7, The Game. I was getting texts about Buddy Hield in the fourth quarter of the game last night.
Buddy Buckets.
Well, I think Evan Giddings in the third quarter is blowing on the back of his fingernails because in yesterday's crossover, organically, a bet just kind of developed when people were talking about what Kuminga might want to or need to average in terms of points per game. And it just kind of popped to my head. I go, and this isn't saying that Kuminga can't do 17, 18 points a game this year. I said, I bet you Buddy Hield averages more points this year than Jonathan Kuminga for the Warriors.
Yeah. That was in the crossover, right?
In the crossover, yeah. And E-Dog's like, I'll take that bet. And then we go out there, we're watching the game, and Kuminga kind of has a little slow starter, but then he grows into the game, and he starts to feel his spot a little bit, and he's attacking the rim, and he's getting by people, and it's like, okay, we got 13 points, got 15 points, got 17 points, and I could feel it. Somewhere in the building, I didn't even know where he was sitting. I could feel Evan being like, I can taste that beer at the Old Ship now. It's going to be so good, because Buddy Buckets only had 3 points in that first half, and then the Buckets caught fire in the fourth quarter. And so, look, I don't know where this whole thing is going, but Buddy Hield, he can shoot. And when he gets going like he did in the fourth quarter, the Warriors are, along with Lindy Waters, when Steph Curry comes back, etc., the way Andrew Wiggins was shooting through his first three games, and we still don't have word on him tonight. But Steve Kerr said, even with the loss of Klay Thompson, we need more three-point shooting. I do think they found it.
They did, and I think a more fair bet would have been Buddy Hield against Stephon Curry. I think that's how you say his name, but because Buddy's leading the team in scoring
right now.
He might outscore Steph Curry, for crying out loud.
Not happening.
Probably not, but when you watch Buddy play, and you know, you see the game before when he was 3-for-14 or 3-for-15, and that guy has no conscience, which is what you want, because he comes out, he could go 0-for-17, and the next night he could go 11-for-12 or 14-for-19 or whatever. That guy gets hot in a hurry.
Did you see where he drew inspiration last night?
From?
Reggie Miller.
Yeah.
Reggie Miller, TNT broadcast. He said to Buddy at halftime, you look tentative. Shoot the bleeping ball. And then he did.
Shoot the buckets ball.
Shoot the damn ball.
Yeah.
And 25 points. points in the second half. I think 19 in the fourth quarter. Ooh, it was a good game for the Warriors.
He looks looks a little Steph-esque. I'm not saying he's as good or will ever be as good, but the way he, before he even gets the ball, doesn't matter if he's balanced or not, doesn't matter where he is, it's going up, and he gets to the release point, and he lets it fly, and when he's hot, he'll throw it up from anywhere, and it goes.
Yep, and it's a very easy release.
Yeah.
It's a very quick and easy release from Buddy Hield. So that looks to be, so far, so good. Good fit for Buddy Hield and the Warriors, who are 3-1. Do you want to see them next month? Within the next 10 minutes, okay, we will give away another pair of tickets to the Warriors versus the Nets on Wednesday, November 25th. All you will need is the contest line. Don't call now, but have this number ready, 415-523-4652. We'll tell you when to call. You can win your way in. Speaking of which, in less than an hour, between 5 and 5:30, your chance to win two tickets to see the Scorpions in Vegas on March 6th. PH Live, Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino. We'll throw in two plane tickets and a two-night stay as well. That's a text contest. We'll give you the key word between 5 and 5:30 and tell you what to do to see if you can win your way for a trip for two to Vegas in March.
Giving a lot of stuff away. You got Warriors tickets, trips to Vegas, Scorpions tickets, and all the rest. And, man, if you're in or around San Francisco, come down to Thrive City. We've got a lot of Pride commemorations and celebrations here. We got a live DJ. You got a Warrior game that's coming up. The Thrive City area is slowly growing and percolating. The sun is out. Beautiful day in the city, Mark.
And by the way, last night was a TNT game, so there was no local broadcast. That's not the case tonight, which means that in about less than an hour or so, our buddy Bonte and maybe some friends from NBC Sports Bay Area are going to jump over to our table and talk a little Warrior basketball as well. So we got a lot of good stuff up. It's clear to us that a lot of people still want to talk about Jonathan Kuminga. And to me, we're sitting here talking right at the end of the show when we get word that Jonathan Kuminga is coming off of the bench. And your breakdown of maybe the X's and O's reason why was one thing. The other side to it is the emotional side. How does Jonathan handle that? And we're always usually a little worried about it based on how he handled some things last year. So to me, here was the arc of the whole thing and how I kind of feel about it as we sit here at 4:25 today. Number one, you get named as coming off of the bench, and your job, especially this year, Steph Curry, no negative energy, your job is to go out there and play well. And then he did. And I was so thrilled to see the way that all went down. And so there's three aspects of this. Number one, should Jonathan be disappointed or bummed? Yeah, you can be. Is it your job to still go out and play well? Absolutely, and he did. But then there's the third aspect, which is, do you then after the game need to go let everybody know that you're not pleased? And it's clear that he did, because every local reporter with the Warriors reported after the game that Jonathan is not very pleased with this role. And then there's the obligatory, but I'm going to handle it and do fine. That's great, but to me, if you're going to handle this correctly in all aspects, it's not just be a pro, go play well. It's also be a pro and don't start throwing teammates under the bus or expressing frustration with the whole process. You had your best game. The Warriors had their best game. You had your highest scoring total. I feel like he should accept this with open arms.
Yeah, he should, but he is still a young person. He's a young player. He's in his fourth year, and these are all things that hopefully he's being helped to learn and grow from, because I'm looking at the quote right here from Kendra Andrews, and he said, you know, when Kerr informed him via text, according to Jonathan Kuminga, that he was not going to be starting, he says, it wasn't my decision. I got a text. This is how it's going to go. This is who it's going to be, and I went with it. What am I supposed to do? Ask him why I'm not starting? This is the decision of the coach, and we will follow what he's going to do.
Okay.
That's a good answer.
It's a good answer.
But at the same time,
it's like Family Feud.
Well, yeah, good answer. Good answer.
Good answer.
At the same, you know, at the same time, you know, it does come across a little bit petulant and a little bit immature. Like, well, he said that this is going to be what's going to happen, and well, he's the coach, and so this is going to be the way it's going to be, and I'm going to go with it. And it just takes a little bit away from the positivity of how he played, which is, yeah, I played 28 minutes. I played great. I'm kind of finding my footing this year and all the rest of it. So I understand what you're saying, and I understand how he could be potentially frustrated by this, but at the same time, he's only 22, and he's still figuring out how to be an adult, let alone being an NBA player.
I also think that as a group, those of us who follow or cover the Golden State Warriors are a little triggered by this idea, because we're only 1 year removed from Klay Thompson, for example, being openly offended by the mere idea of coming off of the bench. And I guess I'm just starting to get to a spot of, why is this so offensive? Especially, like, it's one thing, we're talking about Klay. You've got a bunch of rings, and you're a future Hall of Famer, and so there's an ego there that we understand. This is Jonathan Kuminga. You've been a starter for less than a year. You haven't even earned a second contract yet. Why is this so offensive to you? And why don't you have, what I would argue or ask, why don't you have a deeper trust for this organization? And if you want to go back to 2 years ago, he took me out of the playoffs against the Sacramento Kings, you can go back to that. But that's old news now. This is Steve Kerr has backed Jonathan Kuminga. Once they put him into the starting lineup, they left him there. They're trying to develop him. I don't understand why an organization like this has been so successful, has star players at the top running the show. Why does Jonathan not have a larger trust for the decisions they're making and the things that they're trying? Because clearly last night, that looked like a much better spot for him than what was happening the first three games.
Agreed. And I think going into tonight, when they got the Pelicans again, and we don't know officially if Andrew Wiggins will be out. He's questionable. Curry will be out. I would imagine that Melton will also be out, so you'll be shorthanded again. And if I'm Steve Kerr and I look at last night and I look at it and say, well, he came off the bench and he played great and we won, so guess what, JK? You're coming off the bench again.
Yeah.
He's only started 77 games in his NBA career of the 215 he's played in the regular season, so coming off the bench is something that he should be somewhat used to. And I also think that there shouldn't be a stigma about coming off the bench, especially for a younger player. Like, if you're Klay and you haven't come off the bench since your first or second year, fine. I can see where you're thinking, I'm a veteran. It's been 10 straight years of me starting. I want to start because it's what I do. But when you're a young player who's mostly been coming off the bench, I don't know why that'd be a big deal.
Well, here's when I know that somebody has at least on some level kind of handled certain things the wrong way in the last few years. I don't think there's any other Warrior where people are asking the question, how's he going to feel about that?
Right.
Pods to the bench, nobody asked.
Moody, DNP.
Buddy Hield,
yeah,
to the bench, nobody asked. Like, great point. Moses Moody on certain nights is like, do you know that I'm here?
Right.
And he signed a contract extension. But when Jonathan Kuminga specifically goes to the bench, we've all got to go, oh, how's he going to feel? Well, I'm sorry if this sounds harsh. Here's my answer. Who cares?
Yeah.
It is not.
So what?
It is not the job of Steve Kerr or anyone with the Golden State Warriors to worry about how each individual feels based on a decision that you think is the right thing. Unless, of course, the only caveat would be if that person has such a presence in the room, like if it were Steph Curry, but that's irrelevant because who would do that?
Yeah.
I don't understand why we we've got to ask that question. Jonathan Kuminga has not earned the right to be upset if he has to come off the bench, particularly if you're still going to play him almost 30 minutes.
Yeah, 28 minutes, which is plenty. And honestly, if he starts, he's probably not going to play more than 28 minutes anyway.
Correct.
Because you're playing 10 guys or you're playing 12 guys or 13 guys, whatever. And we did the math before about how many minutes there are, period. There are 240 minutes in a game. So when you play 28 of those 240, that's a pretty big total. And I think that only Brandon Podziemski played more minutes than him last night. Yeah, Kuminga at 28. Waters played 31. Buddy and Draymond played 29. Pods played 34. So of the biggest minutes guys, you were in the top five. So just because you didn't start doesn't mean you're not going to get healthy minutes.
888-957-957 if you want to weigh in on this situation, which we knew. Like, we knew before the season even started there was going to be plenty of this. You've got 13 players who look like they've earned playing time. How on earth are you going to keep everybody happy? And how on earth are you going to even do things that all the fans are like, yeah, that's the right decision? It's next to impossible. So 888-957-9570. But beyond that, I will say this. I loved the rotations that Steve Kerr had last night. Not only did Kuminga look the best so far this year with coming off the bench, I thought there was one really kind of in-the-moment tweak that was pretty brilliant, which is the fact that Lindy Waters, who essentially played a good portion of the second quarter, and that is the sum total of what the Warriors had seen from him in a regular season game in this uniform in history, he immediately started the second half with him instead of Buddy Hield. And Lindy used that third quarter to absolutely build a lead for the Warriors. Maybe that sort of gave Buddy Hield a minute to breathe, light a fire, whatever it is. When he came back into the game, he was absolutely fantastic. Those two probably ended up as your best two players for the whole evening. And that's not an intuitive move to make. But he made it because he saw in the moment, I think this will work. If we're going to rip Steve Kerr's rotations when it doesn't work, let's be there to point them out when they do.
No doubt. And last night it was really prompted by the fact that you were down three bodies, but you're right, when you get to the second half and you realize that Lindy is playing great, so you put him back in there instead of just the tried and true, well, you're my starting five, so you got to start the third quarter as well. And the other one is to keep an eye on is Kyle Anderson, who 20 minutes last night, 0 of 9 from the floor.
Oh, his shot was brutal.
Brutal. He does a lot for you.
Yes.
Good defense, high IQ, distributes, and all the rest of it. He did have 5 steals in the game as well, but you know, when you start thinking about that rotation going forward, I don't know how many of these types of players you can afford to have. Kevon, not much of a scorer. Draymond doesn't score a lot. He's got to play. GP2 doesn't score a ton. Kyle Anderson, not known for his shot. So you start getting through your rotation, how many of these guys can you afford to play a lot?
Well,
you know?
Although all of those guys are guys you can't afford to not play, it's just about how many of them can you have on the floor at the same time. But Kyle Anderson, that corner three last night, it's not just that it was missing, it was it was missing by a lot. But you're not wrong. He's very Draymond-esque in that he's going to do a lot of things on the court for you, a lot of smart things. So you live with slow-mo whether or not that shot happens to be falling. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. It is a Warriors Wednesday. It's brought to you by Friedman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live working vignettes. Visit Friedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. Also, right now is time to give away a pair of tickets, Warriors and Nets, Wednesday, November 25th. You just need to be caller 5.
That's it.
You don't have to be talented. You don't have to be smart. You don't have to always listen to Willard and Dibbs. It helps, but that's it. You just need to dial this number, 415-523-4652, 415-523-4652. Be caller 5, and you go into the game.
That's it. Just call and win and show up and enjoy.
Yeah.
It's an easy contest.
So we're also waiting to find out, and my guess is somewhere within the next hour or so, we will know if Andrew Wiggins is playing in this basketball game. What, by the way, if he is, how would you then go about shuffling what happens with the lineup in the rotation?
Well, you probably put Wiggins right back in the starting lineup, and then you go with Draymond and TJD, and then you go with Podzimski.
And Hield.
And Buddy Hield, yeah. I mean, that's probably, I think, what they would do. And the idea of Wiggins and Kuminga both on the bench, then you're probably going to have them on the floor together. And we haven't really seen that be tremendously successful before. I do like TJD as your starting five. And, you know, Draymond then at the four. You don't want to play Draymond too much at the five, I don't think. But, you know, that's kind of the way I would like to stack it.
NBA puts out injury updates every hour on the bottom of the hour, so 4:30, 5:30, 4:30 just passed. They have an update out, but no update for Wiggins. He's still officially questionable.
Okay. I got to consider that a good thing. If you're in favor of Wiggins playing tonight and the way he's been playing, I don't know why you wouldn't. But again, it does create a nightly pickle, and we're going to be playing Warrior Survivor for the next 15 games at least.
At least.
And I'm really curious to see how it plays out. Yes, this is one of those things classically that'll probably work itself out because there will always be a couple guys who are hurt. But even then, with a couple guys, three guys out last night, you still came out of that game feeling like, boy, I kind of feel like Moody probably could have had a few more minutes, you know? He ended up with 6 more points, but in garbaggio time to finish with his 17. I thought he was really, really good again last night.
Yeah, he was really good. And, you know, 17 points in 18 minutes, and it obviously was padded by the garbage time points that he did get. But when you look at the minutes, it was GP2 who was kind of the odd man out. He only played 8 minutes, and if you're going to play 12 and you have everybody ready to roll and the chef is going to get 32 of those 240, and we did this before, you start to slice that pie, and of the 12, two guys are always going to be the odd man out. Yep. I asked Steve Kerr earlier in the week when we had him on Monday about slow-mo in the game against the Clippers, and he just said, hey, you know, when he came in that second quarter with that group, it didn't go well, and, you know, some nights that's just going to be the way it goes.
888-957-9570, the number, and listen, here's the other thing I'll say about it, because I really do. I like Jonathan Kuminga, and I thought he looked really good last night, but I'll admit sort of a scab or a weak point that I have as a Warrior fan in watching this stuff. Last 2 years, there has been too much in terms of drama. There's been too much in terms of attitude. There's too much in terms of I deserve this and he deserves that, and I'm looking out for my money and I should be in the starting lineup. You're going to bench me? You're going to bench me? You got guys punching each other. There's just too much of it. And I think most Warrior fans right now are addicted to the tone that they're hearing from almost all of these Warriors, where they're just like, we're a team. We don't care how many minutes we get. We're listening to Steph, Draymond, and Steve, and what they say goes, and that's it with no ego. And that's everybody except for a tiny little smidge of one person, and that's Jonathan. And as long as it doesn't affect the way he's playing, I think everything's fine, but teetering a little bit when he also is feeling that frustration. It's not so much that he's expressing it at all. I just don't know why he's feeling it. Like, why are you feeling frustrated? It's okay to come off the bench and still get your time and your points.
Well, it's because when you look around his draft class, and I was doing this yesterday, doing a little bit of a search about all the players in the class of 2021, and you've got Max, 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 and big money here, big money there. Even Moody got 3 years and $39 million. Now, Kuminga wouldn't sign that. He's worth more than that, and he wants more than that, but there's a little frustration when you look around your draft class and you start to have FOMO, your fear of missing out. And I know he's not Scotty Barnes, and he's not Cade Cunningham, and he's not Franz Wagner. These are players who are ones on bad teams, and he happened to land with a team that won a championship his rookie year or his second year, so he doesn't have the same ability to complain because you're in a winning situation. situation, but at the same time, I'm sure it's a little frustrating that you don't get the minutes, you don't get the touches, and you certainly haven't gotten the money.
That's a fair point. That's a fair point, but at the same time, it's natural to feel it, but still not okay to bring it to the locker room. Not saying that he's done that as of yet, but I think everybody's eyes and ears are out for where this situation goes next. I know where we're going next. We're heading for our 5 o'clock hour, which is going to be a fun one. Thrive City is where we are. It's brought to you by Xfinity. You can hear and feel the energy building toward game time. We will continue to take your calls, and also Vontae and maybe more are going to jump on by and talk a little bit more Warrior basketball with us right out here on the plaza. We'll hope that you join us and stay tuned. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises, and we're sponsored by Crystal Geyser, Alpine Spring Water. Don't forget, between 5 and 5:30, your chance again to text in and qualify for the Vegas trip. Details on that next on Willard and Dip.
Dub Nation, it's Trace Jackson Davis. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Well, thank you, TJD. We're live out on the plaza. Thrive City getting ready for the game. It's all brought to you by Xfinity. And remember, a fly away for two. Fly away with me. Actually, no, I won't be there. But you'll see the Scorpions in Vegas sometime between 5 and 5:30. We'll give you the chance to text in and win. Scorpions tickets.
Scorpions!
Airfare.
Klaus Meiner.
And a hotel stay at Planet Hollywood. So keep listening. Details are right around the corner. And we're going to go to the calls as well. I tell you what, the idea, and again, I want to present this right. I don't think Jonathan has really done anything necessarily wrong yet. He played well last night, and so that's wonderful. But the word is, Jonathan is bummed that he's not starting. I liken this to, look, I went to the game. Love that Christy and I went to the game last night. We had great seats. We weren't on the floor. We weren't on the floor.
No.
I wasn't in the first 10 rows.
No.
Am I supposed to be like, well, hold on a second. We host Afternoon Drive on the home of the Warriors.
Yeah.
I don't just want row 25. I want row 5. Like, that's how to me, that's the same thing we're talking about here. You got 28 minutes. You got 17 points. You have very smart people running this show. Steve Kerr, Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Mike Dunleavy. You have it. Trust them. Trust them. Don't be offended that you're coming off of the bench for the Golden State Warriors. That is a fine spot to be.
Don't know if he was offended. I just think that he spoke to what he thought was the way he heard about it. And I guess after the game, he kind of recanted that part of the story. But I'm sure it's frustrating for Jonathan. And there's a certain amount of anxiety about what is yet to come, because he's in a contract year. And if you're seeing as a bench player by other people in the league and around the league, and when you've got reporters using the word benched ahead of your face,
well,
when it comes to the story. But think about it from his standpoint.
Yeah, that was out of line.
It's out of line, but if you're Jonathan Kuminga, you're worried about optics as well as how you play, because you've got 78 more games to show everybody just how good you are, because at the end of the year, he's going to be a free agent, a restricted free agent. Which means any of the other 29 teams can come to him and offer him a big deal, and then the Warriors have to match it. So it's up to him to go out there and show these other 29 exactly how good he is.
No doubt. And I want to talk a little bit more about those social media posts that referred to Jonathan Kuminga as benched. We'll do that in a few, but let's go out to the phones. Mary is in Marin County and joining us on Willard and Dibs. Mary, thank you for the call. What's up?
I was just listening to you a little bit earlier, and I didn't hear his comments last night, but what you had said was everybody on the Warriors team buys into the coaching staff, the coach, and we're all here to win. But it sounded like, from what your quote was, that he said was kind of the same thing, and I feel a little bit like people are reading in between the lines. He said Coach texted him and said he wasn't going to be starting, and so that's what he was doing. So,
well, Mary, I'm drawing more, not so much from just the direct quote, because I agree with you that there's nothing bad about that quote. I'm drawing from the report that Anthony Slater has given, that Monty Poole has given, that Kendra Andrews, everybody who reports on the Warriors has stated publicly today they don't think Jonathan is thrilled with the move. Let's just put it that way. And that's fine to not be thrilled with it. I just don't think you should be letting people know that. And I also think that as long as you're playing 28 minutes, who cares if you come off the bench or not? You know, that's my point.
And I agree. But again, you're saying they think. So I wonder what it is that's causing them to think that, you know, what he has said off the record. But for sure, the Warriors have got to be the classiest team in the league about keeping stuff close to the vest. What happens between us is between us and none of your business, and it doesn't come out. So I was just curious. I missed the first part of it, and I thought, well, it sounds like a lot of speculation and not anything he's said or done. But that was my comment.
It's speculation, but it's also reporting from the people who are there each and every day. And again, neither Mark nor I is portraying this as a real problem. It's just something I think to kind of keep an eye on because of what Mark had said earlier, reminding me about the previous years where he wasn't in the lineup, he wasn't finishing games, and even last year where he felt like the coaching staff didn't have his best interests at heart necessarily. And now here we are in a contract year, and it's game four, and already we have these things kind of percolating again.
Yeah, I like the way you're saying it. Is it speculative? No, not really, because these reporters, we know them very well. They do a great job. They're getting this from their off-the-record conversations with Jonathan, or maybe they're just unquoted conversations with him or his agent or whatever it is. You're never going to get all those reporters to come out of the room with one impression and have it be wrong. So, again, I've got no problem if Jonathan is frustrated, but I would ask him why. Like, there just really isn't a reason for it. And if it is, and here's where I am speculating, if Jonathan is upset because of the way this was portrayed on social media, then, A, I do think it was portrayed incorrectly on social media, where Shams and others had posts that said, Jonathan Kuminga's been benched, all capital letters. I would have loved, by the way, for Steve Kerr in his post-game conference, because he's done this before. He knows what's being said on social media. Come out and say, I didn't bench Jonathan Kuminga. We decided to bring him in at a different time. And those are, like, I get it. It's not benched. It has a connotation to it,
yeah,
and it's not accurate in this case.
At all. And he came off the bench, and Steve Kerr ended up playing, what, 15 guys last night or 14 different players?
Yeah.
So, you know, are you telling me that Pat Spencer was benched? Well, he wasn't benched. He just played 3 minutes. And so if he had expectations about being a starter and he only played 3 minutes, then it might be a story. And Jonathan Kuminga played 28 minutes. So for me, it's a complete non-story. And I do think part of this stems from Jonathan Kuminga's, I would say, emerging command of the language. Because if you read the things that he said, they come across differently than the way he intends to say them, I believe. And he says, you know, it wasn't my decision. It was the man himself, Coach Steve Kerr's decision. It wasn't my decision. And some of the other things he says come across a little bit more terse and direct, and it's because I don't think that he has total command of the nuance of the language to where you could convey things in a different way.
Yeah, there's not been some tirade or anything like that. I just think that following Steph Curry's lead this year with a team that has some new players and some youth is really important. And when Steph says last week, this is a beautiful locker room, we need to make sure there are no agendas, we need to make sure that nobody has negative energy if it's not your night, I don't want 4 games in to be hearing from all the reporters that that someone's upset, even though they still ended up getting more than their full role and filled up the box score in a way that they hadn't in games past.
Yeah.
So this is, there's no offense in being benched. You want, I don't think it's too much to ask every Warrior to be like, you know what I want to do? I want to do what is absolutely best for this basketball team to win basketball games. And if that means that I go sit up in the upper deck, I'll go sit up in the upper deck, because that's what all the other players have said.
Yeah, and that's what Steve Kerr said last night, and he actually was praising Kuminga. He said JK was great. We're going to need him.
Great, yes.
There's games like tonight where we have to have him. There's other games where maybe things aren't going his way, and that's okay. This is a deep team, and the thing that Steve has asked all these guys to do is just commit. Every night is going to be different. So,
trust. That's the word we've been talking about. Just right. Trust them.
Trust that, you know, everybody has to commit, and some nights when maybe it's not your night, like Kyle Anderson on Sunday, wasn't his night in Steve's eyes. He didn't play anymore. And last night was a case where GP2 only played 8 minutes, and maybe it wasn't his night. So every night is going to be different, except for guys like Steph and Draymond. They're going to play regardless, but the other 10 in the rotation, you may go from 30 minutes to 4 minutes, night after night.
Judy in Oakland is next up. Judy, thank you for calling. You're on Willard and Dibs.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Judy.
I think that Kuminga needs to just be quiet and follow the process. All this complaining and griping and all these things, I mean, look within. Why are you not getting the contract that everybody else says you think you should get? Because you're not being a team player and you're not following the process. Everybody else comes in. I mean, if Steph can come off the bench, everybody should come off the bench. I mean, just get over it. And what is the big deal with coming off the bench? So what? You're getting your minutes. You have your playing time. You get in there, do what you're supposed to do, make a good impression, and then get more minutes for yourself. But shut up about it. I don't understand why all of this talk outside of the locker room. Just, we don't need any more drama. We got rid of drama. Can we just move forward peacefully?
Judy, thanks so much. I agree with you completely, except for I will throw this out. I don't think Jonathan has done anything dramatic as of yet.
No, those words that Judy used, like, were a little strong for me.
That's a little strong.
He's not griping.
But here's what I would say. Again, look, where did Jordan Poole usually play when he played? Did he start, or did he usually come off of the bench? He usually...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier, and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.